Jeremy. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and all of you here at 5912 Oak Street in Vancouver, and everyone who is joining us online on the internet. My name is Evan Farrell, and I am the superintendent of Philosophy School, and this morning we are going to have a couple of presentations for you to consider. Before we start that, I'd like to suggest a thought for the breathing. Today is a particularly important day in the life of a Cavalarian, because it is the day of the birth of our founder, the late founder, Alfred J. Parker. So in keeping with that significant day, I would like to suggest that we consider the importance of the ideals that Mr. Parker had in establishing the Cavalarian philosophy and giving us the principle and the process by which we can study and apply and grow and develop an understanding of how to live a life in harmony and balance. So as a thought for our reading this morning, let's consider the importance of making each day a constructive effort and to appreciate the opportunity we have to live a harmonious and constructive life through the application of the principles of the Cavalarian philosophy. With that, please join me in three deep breaths. Thank you. For your philosophical consideration this morning, we have two presentations. The first is by an individual who has created a distinctive position within the Society of Cavalarians as a member of our light training program, instructor level. She has spoken to us many times before. We've always enjoyed her perspective. I've known her for a long time, and I always remember her as the lady with the big smile and the warm heart. To speak on a perfect day with a perfect purpose, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Danielle Shearing.
Careful how you say that long. Just don't drag it out. Good morning, everyone, to those of you I can see and to those of you who are out there in the atmosphere. Nice to know that we have an unseen audience with us as well. A perfect day with a perfect purpose. That sounds pretty lofty and pretty ambitious and pretty intangible in a way. Because when we think of the word perfection, we have to think, well, what is perfection? It's a concept. What's perfect for me is certainly not perfect for you. It's a perfect day for you sitting there at home listening to this. It's not so perfect for me having to stand up here and do this. However, perfect is also means without flaws. It's an ideal situation. It fulfills a need. It's satisfying. That's a perfect dress. Just exactly what I need, or that's a perfect setting for our holiday. So we use the word perfect because it is a completion of what we are seeking for, or what we are looking for, what we're working towards. And of course, in our lifetime, we should be also looking forward and working towards completing an ideal. Perfection is most often linked to sort of self-satisfaction and the emotions. It was perfect skiing weather. I had a perfect day. I did absolutely nothing. You know, it's more relative to the things of the senses and how we feel and how we respond. And, of course, that's a very limited view. And as students of vocabulary and philosophy, we're always striving to expand our views and our objectives in life. Like truth, perfection is always changing. What used to be a perfect lifestyle or a perfect outing, whatever was used to be perfect, day by day our concept changes, and you know, that's not so good anymore. You know, we want something more. We want, you know, that furnishing used to be just perfect, but after a few years we look at it and we think, you know, so we find something else. And even in our concepts, what we appreciate and believe in fully one day, after a while we realize our concept has changed, and so that truth has changed, or that state of perfection is constantly changing, and so it should be, because the perfection is that culmination of an ideal or an objective or something we've been working for. And as we go through life, we always need to be working and heading for something, and so that perfection should always be changing and advancing. The perfection is an ideal that we need to live for, because finding that perfect situation is always an upliftment. It always gives us an inspiration. It always makes us happy, and it gives us that incentive to go on. And so it must be that when we look for that perfection in life, it must not be just the satisfaction of what we feel, but rather what we have accomplished. We can't determine whether we've had a perfect day or a perfect week or period of time unless we've had a goal or a purpose to that particular period of time. And so it comes down to planning a life or planning our thinking, our objectives, to have a definite purpose that we are unfolding. Now, we know that life just doesn't unfold exactly as we'd like it. The best laid plans of mice and men, as the saying goes. We know that we start off with one objective in mind, and by the end of the day, we find ourselves way off track, and we think, what happened? Well, that's life. Life happened, as they say. But does that mean that at the end of the day, we haven't had a perfect day? That perfection that we are seeking is not limited to just doing what we set out to do. We can still have a perfect day in doing whatever came along. It's all in what we are learning out of the day and what we are gaining, what we are accomplishing. And has that day brought us a certain closure? Now, we know our purpose, being students of the philosophy. A daily purpose, of course, we link to our cycle, to our year and our month, our day, to our mathematical, personal mathematical qualities, and our continual striving to unfold that purpose within, and that quality from within us. And so it's easy for us to, in a sense, develop that purpose for each day. I'm in a 4 day, so it's a good day to clean out the sock drawer. Or I'm in a 1-5 day, so this is the day I must go out and get started on my project. It's easy to see and to work with our cycles in such a manner. But again, we have to take into consideration the greater purpose of life and the greater role that we as humans play in the unfoldment of life. A power of life is always struggling to unfold within us. It's always seeking expression. It's always looking for avenues. And as students of vocabulary and philosophy, we've been so privileged to understand it to a greater degree and to have an insight of it, to even be aware of it, because most people have no knowledge of how they are related to life and how they can get the most out of life. And so their purpose is strictly limited to making money, running the home, getting a vacation. It's very surface, whereas we are striving to get below the surface and to try to understand and express the greater cause of life and to bring balance and harmony and perfection into life through our very living habits. So we have to look beyond just the daily routine and look to learning every day what there is to be gained and how we can benefit from whatever the day sends us in the way of experiences. The greater our balance and stability is mentally, the less frequently we run into these snags in life. But they do happen. And to get upset because we weren't able to do what we wanted to do, to react negatively or to be emotionally upset because our plans got thwarted, that spoils any hope of attaining a degree of perfection at the end of the day, because we have allowed the emotional reaction to override the thinking ability. So we have to learn to roll with the punches. We have to learn to take things as they come and at the same time try to understand what has transpired, what in our thinking has caused the chaos, the confusion, the turmoil, and try to bring that constant balance into our life. We have to first, before we can create that balance and that daily purpose, we need the knowledge and the education of the basic principles in life, which we have, and then we need to apply the steps to them. I was reading some of Mr. Parker's works a while back, and it was in a biblical setting, and he was talking about the three phases of life, and he worded it in quite a unique way. And he referred to the seeding period. He said the seeding of balance and discipline. The second was the mental growth through experiences. And the third was the Sabbath, or wisdom, which is the fruit of the reward. But I found his reference to the seeding of balance and discipline to be quite interesting. He was talking about this, I think, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was obviously more in the relation to man's existence on life rather than just the cyclic law that he was referring to. When I think of seeding of balance and discipline, that really is the key or the basis for any greater mental development. Until we have established that balance in mind, firstly through the mathematical principle, and then through the discipline of our thinking and of our emotions to allow that balance to express in life, then we are always subject to the chaos of and confusion of emotional turmoil, whether it's our own, whether it's the world, whether it's the world around us. There's always things going on, and one of the first things that we must learn is to establish that control, the balance, and the discipline. Discipline is something that's got a very bad rap in the last years. You know, it's considered to be so demeaning, to be so limiting to you know, they think of discipline as beating a child. Well, of course, we know discipline is far different, and so we have to apply that thought to ourselves. And the discipline of our emotions, of our reactions, of our thoughts, all our different feelings, to bring them under the control of the mind. And there is the seeding that creates that seed of the awakening of that spark within. Because until it has, that spark has a clear channel to express through that is unhindered by the confines and the restrictions of emotional reactions, it can't really find that full expression. Then we have the mental growth through the experiences in life. Now, so often we want to get to the end, we want that perfection, but we want to avoid all these rocky experiences in between. But we can't do that because that's where we learn. That's where the mind gains the upper hand on situations. That's where our balance and our discipline comes in, is as we handle every day, as we meet each challenge with control and with thoughtfulness, with consideration, with confidence in knowing the principles, knowing our cycles, knowing how to use our deep breathing, our control of thoughts, and we get the better of every experience. It may be hard, it may be devastating, but sooner or later, our mind has to become the upper hand, and it has to be the determining factor. And that experience then is what teaches us, because then we gain the confidence to know that we can handle this situation, that something goes totally wrong in your life, and you look at your cycle and you stay with it. And rather than becoming very emotionally involved and crying or getting upset, getting angry, you know, displaying the emotions, you know, we just hang on, hang with it. And lo and behold, that, you know, works its way out. And sometimes, you know, the result is not what we want, but the important thing is how we handled it mentally, how much balance we were able and control we were able to bring to the situation. So through those experiences, we grow, and we kind of want to shy away from them. And we want to get away from everything. And yeah, it would be nice to get away from everything, but you know, we live in this world and this is where our existence is. So it's learning to grow. So we come to the end of the day and we think, oh, this day was, you know, if this was on my computer, I'd hit the delete button because it was just such a rotten day. But, you know, maybe the day was, but when you look at yourself and we say, did I handle it? You know, what did I do? How did I control it? You know, what were my reactions? And you go over it in your mind and think, well, I didn't do too badly. It was hard, but so on and so forth. Maybe you have had a perfect day. Maybe the experience, maybe the upheaval was pretty devastating, pretty difficult. But if you learned, if we learned from that day, if we can look back and see what we accomplished, see how we controlled and balanced and, you know, disciplined, then at the end of the day, we can say, yeah, it was a difficult day, but my purpose in life to exert mental control and discipline over my emotions, I did it. And so, you know, it's one little tiny step, but it is a step. And so we learn and we grow from it, we go on. And so we can say, I had a perfect day. You might not want another day like that, but nevertheless, it's an attitude. If all we say is, oh, this day was horrible, I don't want to ever go through another one like that, I just want to forget it and, you know, go away, and, you know, we just push it aside. We haven't grown or gained from the experience. So we really can't say that, left in that state of thinking, we can't say, I didn't fulfill my purpose today, I didn't, you know, I didn't do what I wanted to do, and I certainly didn't have a perfect day. Well, maybe you didn't do what you set out to do. Maybe you didn't get to clean out the sock drawer because the furnace blew up or some other thing came along. Who knows what the situation is. But at the end of the day, you can say, I learned, I got control of it. And so you can say, it was a perfect day because I made a step of progress. And so that's the ideal that we are working towards. And through that second phase of mental growth through experience, that's where we grow. We keep sometimes looking for growth and you know, for spiritual fulfillment or enlightenment in our books or through lectures, through talks and things, and we miss the tremendous growth that can take place through the handling of the experiences in our life, because that's what makes the mind grow. We can absorb a certain amount, we can absorb a lot, but we have to use what we absorb, and we sometimes overlook that basic need to just handle. And we sometimes get so justified in our reaction to things or our feelings towards a situation, towards people, towards whatever the situation may be, that we forget to stand back and look at the bigger picture. And here again, we need that self-observation to help us through that the time, to help us broaden. And it means looking back at our background, our family name, the type of people, you know, that we lived in, and the reactions and the attitudes and habits of our background, and to learn to see how many times our reactions to things are a reflection of that background rather than of that true spark from within us. Now we all grew out of a certain patch in the garden, so to speak. You know, you came from a cabbage, then you're a cabbage. If you grew from a pansy, you're a pansy. You know, so we have that background, but we must be aware of it and learn to see why our reactions are perhaps limited or relative to our background qualities. And learn to put our own spin on the situation, our own individual thinking that we have learned as a result of being Cavalarians and through the principles that we have. So that self-observation is a very important part of learning through experiences, because quite often when we come up with an experience and we can make ourselves be objective about it, we come up with something that we hate to deal with, because we get into this area where you have to say to yourself, I'm wrong, I've got to change, I've got to look at it differently. And there, that's where that discipline comes in, to make ourselves change our reaction or our attitude or our concept towards something, whether it's a bias, whether it's a racial attitude, whether it's an emotional reaction to things. You may come from a family that, you know, where everybody was very excitable, and so your natural response to something is through great excitement or through fear. You know, we all We have to deal with that ourselves, but we have the principle, and so we can. And so it is as the mind gets in touch with that principle and uses it that the mind grows and becomes much more balanced, harmonious, and then begin to allow that spark from within to express. We have to accept that as species, human species, we do hold the responsibility of bringing balance and harmony into this life, to this world. We're very few in numbers, but you know, the thought process is there, and the more we exhibit balance and harmony, that thinking pattern does reflect in small ways, but you know, we can never give up our responsibility just because we're small. We have to keep striving, and if not for the other rest of the world, at least for ourselves, so that our mind and our life reflects that balance and harmony. The purpose of every day, of course, we know the cycle, cyclic law, and we know that in order to establish that harmony, we need to work with the cyclic law and to, you know, plan our lives in accordance with the unfoldment of that cycle of planning and working in harmony. Of course, that does bring about far greater results. But as I've said, things don't always work exactly that way, and so we learn to see a purpose in everyday working. We know that song, beautiful song that we hear the teacher singing, when you come to the end of a perfect day and you sit alone with your thoughts. Well, how many of us take the time at the end of the day to just reflect and to seek for some measure of perfection? That's looking on the positive side. That's looking on the bright side. Seeing success in our days, in striving for that, to find that success, we often come across the greater awareness of where we failed. But learning, if we're learning from it, then we still made that step of progress. Now, it's not to say that every day has to be crammed full of hard work and concentration and effort and, you know, doing. Every once in a while, a day comes along when you just do nothing. You know, something, an appointment gets canceled or something happens. You can spend the whole day in your bathrobe with your feet up reading a novel. If at the end of the day you could say, from this day, I didn't accomplish a blooming thing, but I was able to unwind. I was able to rid my mind of the stress that's been bothering me. I could, you know, have the time to just break that tension. That's an accomplishment. And it may not have been your purpose when you got up in the morning, but if it added to the sum total of your life, it's accomplished something, and it has fulfilled a purpose. It may not be what you set out in your mind, but if you just think, oh, I was a lazy so-and-so today, and crawl off to bed and don't give it another thought, then we've missed the opportunity to gain from it, because we haven't made ourselves consciously aware of what we have accomplished. And of course, you know, sometimes we think, gee, it'd be nice to live this way all the time. But no, we would get dissatisfied with that. So you have a week, a weekend, a day where it's just a downtime. But benefit from it. You know, we go to the resort, we have a holiday. Benefit from it. And seek mentally to see how we have benefited. And then our mind is consciously in control of the situation. And that downtime is very important in our existence because life is stressful, life is very demanding, and we need. But sometimes you think, well, today I'm going to take a down. This is going to be my 9 day and my 9 month. I'm going to just take it easy. Well, those are usually the days when something goes wrong and it just doesn't happen. But whatever the situation is, learn from it, benefit from it, see how in some way it has added to your life and added to your mental understanding of life. And then, as the teacher said, the third phase is the Sabbath, which is the wisdom we've gained then. You know, when we've worked hard at things, we've created the balance, we're learning through the experiences as we live. That's the wisdom of life. We learn to see how the cycles unfold in a little deeper way. We've learned to see the mathematics working. We've learned to understand ourselves. We've learned to understand the reactions that we have and where they come from and how we can go about overcoming them and getting the better of them. Those experiences have brought us the wisdom. And when we, as we grow continually, then the fruit of the reward is that wisdom of life, and we are much better people for it, and we are able to share with the world the knowledge that we have. And so when we come to the end of that day, that week, month, we can look back and say that we've had a perfect day because we have fulfilled the purpose of gaining greater mental control, of tuning ourselves more completely with the principle, and we've allowed that spark within an outlet or an expression through intelligent handling of life. So here's to a perfect life.